Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
I want us to turn, not going to be very difficult to do, but turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Look at verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I want you to see what is being said right here. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's very interesting tonight as we continue our prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet, and we're going to be talking about the letter Mem, all right? Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's pray. We are recording. Everything's recording. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for this privilege to be in your house. Let this word go forth in power and in demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So we talked a few weeks ago about Lamed. Lamed is the 12th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Lamed meant a cattle goad, a staff, or a rod. And so one of the first prophetic truths we learned about Lamed is that it is the rod of the tongue, right? And why does the psalmist say, thy rod and thy staff? Why is there a distinguishment among the two or between the two? Well, what we've learned is that the rod was used for a shepherd's crook to guide and to correct, while the staff was used for the shepherd's support and stability, because in that region they would need all types of support, especially walking around the rocks and the terrain that they had to navigate through. So we learned something that was very interesting about this letter Lamed. It is the word Lashon. We get Lashon. It begins with the same letter Lamed, and it is the word for the tongue. So we learn that the tongue then is this. The tongue is the rod that devours or establishes life. That's what Proverbs 18 and 21 tell us. It teaches us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? And so we talked about throwing a rod in our car engine and how dangerous that can be. Number two, the second truth about the letter Lamed was the prod of learning. So here we got a shepherd, and he has his rod, he has his staff, and we learned that the letter Lamed comes from this root word Lamad, which literally means to learn or to teach, right? Have you ever noticed, but you've probably read books or have seen television series or seen something where way, way back in, teachers would use this type of instrument, would use some kind of stick or, you know, something small. They would use that to teach with, but they also used it for another reason. Does anybody know? They used it for discipline. They would smack the hands or get the child's, of course you can't do that these days, but back then they would do that to get the child's attention and to help discipline them. Teachers would do that. They wouldn't send them down to the principal's office, you know. They would actually use that type of punishment during their class. And so that's interesting to me, because Lamed, this word L-M-E-D, actually means to prick, to sting, to incite, or to goad. Just like if you ever had cattle, we had cattle growing up when I was a young man or just a child, and they had these cattle prongs. Now they're, I don't know, I guess they're electric now, but back then they had these cattle prongs, and they would almost burn them, the cattle, to get them to move, to drive the cattle. And so I think that's interesting. The third prophetic truth, and of course we're just covering what we have already learned of Lamed, is that it's the tallest letter in the entirety of the 22 letters of the Hebraic alphabet. I find this significant because if you were to line up, remember we're going from right to left, and you would look, you would see that this particular letter is the tallest letter. And since Lamed is the center letter and the tallest letter, it's considered the heart of the Hebrew alphabet. It's considered the heart of it. So it's towering over all the letters, and it represents the King of Kings and the throne of glory. In fact, if you will see, and we're going to talk maybe a little bit about it, you will see that the three center Hebrew letters out of the alphabet, if you're to line them up, you would see that the three central Hebrew letters actually spell Melech. Melech is the Hebrew word for king. Only God could put something together like that. Only God has that ability and ingenuity. And so the name Israel, which begins with the letter Yod, is the smallest letter, and it ends with the tallest letter, Lamed, which is the largest letter, suggesting this, that Israel is dependent upon God. Now, this is so true. I believe this. I believe that Israel is God's nation, yes, but I believe that Israel also has the propensity, just like we do, to backslide, to fail, to miss out. And so we need God's correction and guidance. And so that pretty well covers a recap of Lamed. Now, let's talk about tonight's letter Mem. Everybody say Mem. Genesis 1:1-2, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I like this part. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is so interesting to me. We look at this letter Mem, we see that it is the 13th letter of our Hebrew alphabet. We're going to learn that it means this literally. Mem means the word water. And this is my picture of water right here. And here is the, what would we say, the modern drawing or writing of this letter, Mem. Now, there's something interesting. I know you're not going to be able to see it from here, so tonight, if you can, come up and take a picture of this. But we're going to talk about something that is very unusual about. There's only three letters in the Hebrew alphabet that actually do this. But this is an open and a closed form of the letter Mem. And there's a reason it is open, and it's a reason that it can be clothed, all right? If we were going to say we went back in time and it was in the pre-Canaanite time, this is what Mem would look like. It would look like kind of like waves. In Moses's day, it would look like this. This would be the letter for Mem back in Moses's day. And then King David, this is what his writing would have looked like for the letter Mem. But each other of the one has this kind of wave looking thing, all right? And so I think that's really interesting. And so the first prophetic truth about the letter Mem is this: it is the spring of the word of God. It is a spring. How many believe that God's word is a spring of water? It truly is. Nothing is more powerful than the word of God. Just as the waters of an underground spring rise upward from an unknown source to reveal itself, so does the spring of wisdom rise up from the mysterious source and a resource of God. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 4 to be in your on your screen. It says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. And so this is so interesting then, how God uses this illustration of water being wisdom, being knowledge, being fountain of life. We know that Jesus is our living water, right? He is the only one who truly satisfies the inner thirst we have for real life and ultimate satisfaction. Jesus is the only, listen, I realize there's a lot of avenues that people are searching for to fill the voids in their life, but I am certain of this tonight, that Jesus is the primary source, true source to fill the void in our life. And he has that conversation, if you remember, with the woman, the Samaritan woman, right? If you remember the conversation, and he's talking to her, and he's saying, you know, you could draw water from this Jacob's well, which Jacob's well was, they suggest it was about 900 feet deep. They said, oh, you could draw water, but you will continue to draw water, and you will always be thirsty. But he said, there's me who can offer you everlasting life through my water, and you will never thirst. I like that. How about you? And so this is what he says in John 7 and verse 37. It'll be on your screen. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. How many want out of your being the rivers of living water to really just thrust out of your life? I do. I want that at a continuance. I want God's presence in my life, and I want to be able, I just don't want it for myself, but I want to be a dispenser of God's goodness and his blessings. Number two, this is where it gets really interesting. The second prophetic truth about meme is this. It is the open and closed form. And so this is what I just alluded to a few moments ago. Open and closed. And it's just this little area right there. You will see at times that it will be closed. It's significant. There is a reason. Everything that God does, he does on purpose. He does it. He does things to teach us. It's not just by accidents. God has purpose in mind. He wants to teach us something. He wants to illustrate us something. And so there's a reason that this letter is open at times and it is closed time. That's why it's a prophetic truth. It's a mystery. It has two forms. It's the open form and the closed form, Mem does. The open form is this Hebrew word, pesucha. P-E-S-U-C-H-A. We actually would say ha at the end of it, pesucha. And it represents this. It represents the revealed truth of God. How many is grateful that God's word? Here is the greatest example of the revealed truth of God. It's his word. It's his Bible. I'm grateful for that. But when you see this letter meme and it's closed, just like you would turn the water off in your water faucet, and it's closed, it has a different representation. It is the word, the Hebrew word stuma, S-T-U-M-A-H, and it reveals not the revealed truth of God, but it represents the concealed truth of God. Now you may be thinking, why would God want to conceal himself? Let me show you out of the word. Stuma is seen in the parables of Jesus. If you remember, Jesus taught his disciples. He taught everyone that was around in the Gospels. He's teaching, and majority of his teaching came from parables. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 10. It'll be on your screen. It says, and the disciples came and said unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Wow. What's he saying there? Why is he saying parables? Well, let's go to verse 13. Matthew chapter 13:13, it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, so what has happened? There are people, even in the day of Christ, that are just so adamant that they do not want to see the truth. In fact, the Apostle Paul even warns us that in the last days, there will be people ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God, at times, he conceals himself to stir our hunger, to make us want to know more about him. And so this brings me then to the third prophetic truth about men. It is divine omnipresence. One of the Hebrew names for God is the name Makom, M-A-K-O-M, and it means place. Divine omnipresence, place. So what is so fascinating about the Hebrew name Makom, that it includes, here we go, we're going to go a little deeper, it includes this word Makom, M-A-K-O-M, it includes both, Sister Charlotte, the open and the closed form of the Hebrew letter Mem. So that means God is saying His divine omnipresence is open, is revealed, but it's also concealed. How many want to go in the secret place of the Most High? I want to find myself in the secret place of the Most High. And so this is incredible because God's presence is both open and revelatory, yet God's presence is also shrouded in deep mystery, closed to the apprehension of human reasoning. That means you can't figure God out. That means that's why in parables Jesus would speak to them and they would try to reason and try to figure, and his so deep, it's like deep Christ calls them to deep. In fact, that's what Psalms 42 and verse 7 is telling us. Look at the scripture. It says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. I don't know about you, but I mean, you missed something right there. We're talking about this letter mem that means water, and we're talking about deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. In other words, he's saying, I want to be so surrounded, engulfed in God's water spouts, in his spirit, in his presence. If you remember in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel sees this river. And it's a great river. And the man that is measuring the river is telling him to go and to wade out. And he measures, and he's ankle. Remember the story? He's ankle deep. And then he gets to the point, measure again. He goes out a little further, and then he's up to the knees, to the loins. And then the final measurement, he finds that it's a river he cannot pass over. Don't you believe that God wants to take you deeper than where you're at right now? How many want to go deeper in the Lord? We should never just settle for where we're at. We should strive for more of God. And in order for you, let me just give you this real simple thought. In order for you to have more of God, there has to be less of you. That's just the bottom line. If we truly want more of God, that means there's got to be less of us. Okay? So I think this is so incredible. Number four, the fourth truth about Mem, and it's the last one, is this two aspects of God's rule. The first aspect of God's rule is seen in kingship, which is the letter Malchut. Starts with Mem, Malchut. The second aspect of God's rule is seen in God's dominion. So there's a difference between kingship and dominion. Dominion is the Memshalah. Memshalah and Malchut. Now, look at Psalms 145 and verse 13. It says, thy kingdom is what? An everlasting kingdom. And thy dominion, thy Memshalah, endureth throughout all generations. Now, this is what I like. You'll like this. It may not seem like it right now. It may not seem like it in this exact moment that God is in his kingdom is in charge. But I will tell you, one day God's kingdom and dominion will reign supreme for eternity. It may not seem like it because right now we're in a earth where Satan is the god of this world, and he's doing his best to try to manipulate things and control things and try to shake things up and cause deception. But one day soon, God's kingdom will reign supreme for eternity. Look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. It says, and it should be on your screen, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's why I like this thought. We're kingdom builders. I am not one that's going to try to cause division and partitions in different religions. And listen, I know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through one way to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the truth and life. That's the only way. Everybody has different opinions and different faiths. I realize that. But time is too short to just rock the boat. We need to pray for one another, and so we need to be building up the kingdom of God. Hello? And not build up just ourselves. It's a shame that we have churches that's all about trying to build up their own agenda and their own program, and that God does not find that favorable. So let's build up the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is what is going to reign forever and ever. So how do I apply this to my life? How do I make this message, the prophetic truth about the Hebrew letter of alphabet, the letter Neem, count for life? Just a minute, Pastor Crystal, you're just a little too ahead. So we know a pictograph, and this is what we've been using. We've been using these pictographs. You see them in different forms, and I've been drawing them up there. We know that a pictograph is simply a symbol, a sign, whatever we want to call it, for a letter or for a word. We also said, and it's important that I always say this, but that the Hebrew word pictures do not replace, they do not define, and they do not limit Scripture. All that I'm doing, and you've known this already, these pictures and the things that I draw up here, it's only used to illustrate Scripture. Now, we know that, okay? This pictograph is the waves of water. This is what meme would be, these waves of water. It's really interesting. I have dreams. Have you ever had a dream of being in a river or a ocean or a lake or a pond? Anybody? So we have some spiritual people here. Nothing, if you never have, it's no problem. But let me just say this. Anytime you dream about a river, there is trouble brewing. Rivers and streams, although we say in Scripture, rivers and streams in Scripture mean the Spirit of the Lord. But then in a dream, a river can mean trouble. I remember pastoring years ago, and I had this blue Jeep Wrangler Rubicon. And I remember I was driving, and I had come across this river. It was had rained, and it was just coming real fast. And I just, my first church I was pastoring, I'll never forget this. And then this gentleman that was in our church, he was in that dream. And I was coming through, and I woke up real quick because this water was surrounding my Jeep. Well, I learned real quickly through that warning in my dream that individual I dreamed about as a dream was going to cause trouble. Sure enough, that person caused a lot of trouble in our church. And that was God giving me, you know, some revelation and some wisdom. So I find this interesting that Mem, is not only is it the number, the 13th letter, but its gematria number is the number 40. Does anybody know what 40 represents? Let me give you what 40 is. 40 is a number for testing. How many like going through tests? Levi, you like going through tests? Probably not. He's going through, though. He usually nails them, but nobody likes tests. But 40 is actually a number of tests. It was, number one, it was 40 days and nights of floodwaters. Did you know that? It was 40 years in the wilderness. Actually, 39, but 40 is the years they spent in the wilderness wandering around. How many days was Moses on Mount Sinai receiving the Torah? He was there for 40 days. Before Jesus went into his public ministry, he spent time in the desert. How many days was he in the desert? 40 days, what was he doing? He was fasting and praying for 40 days. 40 days. Did you know that there's 40 days from conception to the initial formation of the fetus? Only God can do something like this. Did you know there are 40 weeks of gestation until birth? So you see a lady, you know, they would come and they would see my wife and they would say, how many weeks are you? You know, she'd say 33, 34 weeks, whatever, right? And there are preemies that happen, but that is the way God designed life for the human. 40 weeks of gestation. And this is something that the Hebrews teach, rabbis teach. I wish I'd known this a long time ago. But there are 40 years of age before a man develops insight. You know what that's saying, Sister Haley? There's a lot of men today that are undeveloped in insight. Can I get an amen, ladies? Boy, that was strong. Well, it takes a long time for man, according to rabbis. I think that's interesting. But I believe this is what God is saying. This is what I believe God is saying to us tonight. I believe that God is saying to us that we should develop a true thirst for Him. How many's thirsty? I'm thirsty for God. I truly am thirsty for God. Sometimes we fill ourselves up with other things. Things that really in the, the halls of eternity doesn't really matter. But I want to be filled with what truly matters, and that is God. Look at Psalms division 42 and verse 1. As the hart. Anybody know what a hart is? It's a deer. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? What if tonight I determine I'm just going to be thirsty for God? I was at the doctor's office the other day, and he's giving me some direction on some of the things. By the way, I'm doing a lot better as far as the dizzy stuff goes this week. I've had a pretty good week. Give God the glory and honor for all that. I'm grateful for that. I do have my moments, but I'm thankful for His strength and His grace, and I'm learning how to handle it a lot better still. But then there are those days that just knocks me, like when it was Sunday morning. You have no idea. Sunday morning was such a challenge to stand behind a pulpit and preach. It was so difficult, but God got me through it, and I'm grateful for that. But one of the doctor told me, like most doctors will, they said, you just need to drink more water. I told him how much I've been drinking. He said, you know, that's kind of the low level. You need to step it up. And I thought, you know, that's true. So I've been working on trying to do better drinking more water. Then I thought, you know, I really want to have a thirst for God. I want to be like that deer that's thirsty for God. I used to get a kick out of watching Caleb. I know this is kind of Caleb's week and he's graduating. I used to get a kick out of him. Who remembers the sippy cups? You have a little sippy cup. Did anybody buy chocolate milk, or did you buy white milk and put chocolate syrup in it and stir it up? That's what we used to do. One of the things Caleb would do when he was so small, we'd have his sippy cup. This is like past bottle, but he'd have a sippy cup. And he would sit around, and I would always kid with him. I'd try to take that. He'd always have that sippy cup. And he'd be sitting like in a shopping cart at Walmart, for example. And he'd have that sippy cup, and you could hear him just completely suck that thing dry. You could hear just wheezing, only air coming out. I mean, he was just... And he would look at it and he would shake it up because that syrup would stick to the bottom. He'd shake it up and he'd take another drink, shake it up. And when he was done, he would take that cup and he would throw it as far as he could throw it down the aisle. It was so funny. And I guess that was his reason. The reason he did that is because he wanted more, right? I'll have another. I'm thirsty. I want that kind of thirst. As newborn babes, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. As newborn babes. Can we get back there? Is anybody with me or am I all by myself? Can we say, I truly want to thirst for God in all of His attributes, all of the things that we talked about tonight. I just don't want to know the open revelation of God. I want to get to that concealed, close, where
You know, Moses desired to see God's glory, and he got to that point where I want to be there. Isaiah was in that spot where he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the glory, the train of his glory filled the temple. I want to get to that spot, don't you? To get so surrounded, like that Ezekiel in a river. You know what's so interesting about that thought? When you cross a river and you're on waist high, like Spring River, and you're waist high, your feet are touching, that means you're still in control. But the moment you get to one of those holes in that Spring River where you can't touch the bottom, that means you are out of control. That means you're in the hands of God, your hands of God's current. You're in the hands of God. Can we get there? Let's stand together tonight. What if we all determined to be thirsty for God? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and challenging us to grow, to go deeper, to develop a true appetite for you. Yeah, Father, we've been dry. We've been at moments in our life, we've been going through dry places, and Lord, we've just been so busy about other things, not busy for you like we should be. So forgive us where we fail. Help us, God, to continue to press forward and develop such this thirst after you. And we give you the glory and we give the honor. I want you to head bow because I want to say something. When I was in prayer this afternoon, God spoke to me, and I'm going to share it with the Sunday crowd, but I really feel compelled to say it tonight. God said there will be people attending our services where you've been going forward, you've been developing, you've been moving forward, and you've got the momentum. But God is saying there's been people, voices in your life that's trying to halt that momentum, try to stop that momentum in your life. And God says it's not going to work. God has got your back. He is for you. And that momentum is keeping going. And if God be for us, who could be against us? So don't allow the opinions, the critics. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. The critics, don't allow them to stop that momentum in your life. You keep moving forward. And don't look back.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.